Hello, everybody. This is DJ Leisure. You're listening to WXOJLP 103.3. Today, I am joined in the studio by none other than Chris Killam, the medicine hunter himself. M-dub. And we have just a moment here. Let's see.
Do we have ghosts?
Here you go. Yeah, we got ghosts here. Now let's see if we can hear you.
Let's try this again one more time with feeling.
All right. How we doing out there, radio world? This is DJ Leisure and Chris Killam on As Seen on Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 Northampton, Massachusetts. Always streaming live at valleyfreeradio.org. Today, going to be joined in studio by Chris Killam, the medicine hunter himself. How's it going, Chris?
Doing greatly. Glad to be here with you today on this beautiful, sunny, warm winter day.
As they say at the top of Mount Washington, it is heavily undercast today.
Heavily undercast today.
That's right. So the view from here, though, it's always sunny at WXOJ. So what we're going to be doing today is talking to Chris about his brand new book, The Ayahuasca Test Pilot's Handbook. And we're going to be discussing the incredible healing potentials of the psychedelic medicine ayahuasca, also known as La Medicina. And we're going to be talking about the ayahuasca culture in the Amazon. And we are also going to be talking about maybe the future of this medicine and the role it could play moving forward in this world. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people need healing. And maybe this is one key to help unlock that door. So what we're going to do is start out with a little bit of music here. If you want to join me for a little bit of Burt Bacharach.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And
where are you, Bert?
Right over here. We're working on some Bert Bacharach. The reason that I'm playing this music is because it's featured at the beginning of the Ayahuasca Test Pilot's Handbook. I'm wondering, Chris, if you can tell us what the significance of that song is to you and why the world needs love.
Well, the song is called What the World Needs Now, and it's a love song written jointly between Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And basically the lyrics are, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And what I have experienced with the psychoactive potion ayahuasca and what other people have is being directly tapped into love in an experiential way, in a way that leaves nothing out, that leaves nothing on the table. And my opinion is that having this experience of love is one of those pole star experiences that then sets a direction in your life to be more observant of other people, more caring of other people, more compassionate, more genuinely loving toward others. Right. And so I think this is a major dimension of what ayahuasca brings to us today.
Yeah, and if you think about it, maybe the world that we're talking about is the world inside too, and the sense that we really do need to love ourselves more. And a lot of people are blocked. They're stuck from reaching that point within. And maybe, maybe this is one way to access that place.
Well, yeah, and we're also given a pretty good cultural con job into believing that, you know, we have to wait till we die to live happily, that love is for other people, you know, especially only if they're whatever, you know, supermodels and movie stars. I mean, we're fed so much garbage, and the truth is that every person has the innate capacity for love. Whether or not they choose or are able to exhibit that's a different thing. But ayahuasca does open open up the possibility of experiencing that. And I think that's a wondrous thing. And I think it's also a potent healing thing as well. Because when you become suffused with love, when you're in that ocean, when there's nothing else, then you realize that for the most part, at least from a mental and emotional standpoint, virtually all misery can be traced back to a lack of love.
So a lot of people are probably wondering what ayahuasca is. And so maybe we can talk a bit about what it is, the history of it, and how you became involved in this movement.
Sure, sure. In fact, we had a funny thing about 5 years ago at the ayahuasca monologues in New York. We had hours of people getting up and talking about ayahuasca. And at the end of the night, somebody stood up and waved their hand and said, what is ayahuasca anyway? So to cover that ahead of time instead of at the back end, it is a liquid potion made from two plants in the Amazon, made from a vine called the vine of the soul and from a leaf called chacruna. And it's been drunk for well over 1,000 years that we know of, according to some archaeological ruins that have been found in Ecuador. Its use may go back much further than that. We don't know because there aren't good records in the Amazon. But in any case, this is traditionally made by and administered by shamans for visionary experiences and for healings of different kinds. And also, by the way, for dark witchcraft, that is nothing I promote. But, you know, sometimes people would go to a shaman and say, hey, you know, like I really need you to help me figure out how to best totally wreck the lives of the people in the next village. And the shaman will be, well, let's sit down and drink ayahuasca and see what we can find out in the spirit world. So it occupies many different positions in antiquity, but today people are drinking it primarily for healing and also for spiritual experiences. And they're having very good healings and remarkable spiritual experiences.
So traditionally, what kind of setting is ayahuasca used in?
It's historically been used in the Amazon rainforest, typically in native villages. And if you go back kind of a little bit, mostly it's been the shaman that has drunk. You go to a shaman, the shaman drinks, has visions, tells you what he or she sees. Sometimes a patient is brought to a shaman. Maybe that patient will be given ayahuasca as well. Now what's happening is that native and non-native people are going to ayahuasca ceremonies, sitting together in the dark at night, drinking this fluid, having lavish visions and healing journeys and insights and revelations of all different kinds. And this, in a way, is kind of a new use. This is our engaging with this medicine, which seems to be calling out to us. It has skipped outside of its kind of parenthetical cultural boundaries and now is making itself available largely to the world.
When you talk about the way it has sort of leapt into society, the question of how it leapt into the native community to imagine, you know, one theory being that the spirits of the vines and plants themselves spoke to the shamans and actually gave instruction on how to combine, you know, these different plants, which it seems pretty random. So it would be like, how would they have stumbled upon that? Now, you know the process of how it's, you know, made, actually
right,
made.
Right.
And it's not like they just pick something and, you know, shake them up and drink it. It's actually a pretty involved process.
Yeah, to make ayahuasca involves a huge amount of the kapi vine itself, pounded and then placed in a pot, and huge armloads of the chacruna leaf. The kapi is an MAO inhibitor, monoamine oxidase inhibitor, and the leaf contains DMT. DMT is a potent psychoactive agent, and you can't get off on DMT orally unless you have an MAO inhibitor first. So the cagey psychopharmacologists of antiquity, maybe 2,000 years ago, figured out how to combine an MAO inhibiting vine with a DMT containing leaf. Now, if you go by the theory of trial and error, Then according to the 80,000 or so higher plants that exist in the Amazon, you get about a 6 billion to 1 chance of combining the correct plants. I don't think that happened. I don't think it took place that way. I think it took place exactly the way the shamans say it did, that the plants communicated to the shamans how to put them together to make this potent psychoactive brew. Whatever the case may be, today, many, many hundreds of thousands of people are drinking ayahuasca, drinking this nasty tasting sludge made from these two plants, and having the experiences that they're having, and forming churches and new groups of all different kinds, and exploring the boundaries of healing. And a lot of doctors are involved, and it's a very fertile and somewhat wild time.
Right. So the DMT that you talk about, when it's isolated and used, maybe it's smoked, that experience will last. It's fleeting. It's a matter of minutes. This is actually quite a journey. This can last for hours.
Yes, this will typically go for about 4 or 5 hours. Sometimes you have a night that just doesn't really end, and you're still quite high at 6 in the morning. I mean, anything can happen with ayahuasca. But the normal is it's about a 4 or 5 hour journey.
Mm-hmm. And so we've talked a bit about sort of the arc of this experience, how it might begin to manifest, how you become aware that this is starting to kick in, if you will. And then that there's, you know, the other end of the arc. What was that like for you the first time?
The first time I drank ayahuasca, which was just a little shy of about 8 years ago, it was like bobsledding into an abyss. It was fast. It was extreme. It was intense. It was, a little bit unnerving for the intensity of it. And I had a profound healing experience in a matter of minutes that completely resolved the grief over my mother's death. So it was remarkable.
Wow. Just to mention, we have a caller calling in. What we're going to do with the show, because we are live, is at about the halfway mark, about 1:30, we're actually going to play a sacred piece of music, actually. And during that piece of music, I'll be welcoming the first call to ask a question of Chris. So if you want to call back, we'll let you know that music will play, and we'll give you a heads up, and then we can take your question.
Don't give up on us. We're still here.
We're still here. We're still here. So for those of you just tuning in, this is DJ Leisure on As Seen on Radio, speaking with Chris Killam, the Medicine Hunter, at WXOJLP 103.3 FM. And we're talking about the medicinal use of the psychedelic medicine ayahuasca. Originates in the Amazon. And now, as any vine would do, it's sending its tendrils out across the globe. So what might be the sort of the global impact of this? It was probably not meant to get out of the Amazon. What happened?
Well, we don't know whether ayahuasca was meant to do one thing or another. All we know is that historically it was kind of a kept thing within its traditional native cultures. And now it's spreading like rock and roll. It's going everywhere, every little nook and cranny where there are brain cells to be cooked in this stuff. It's happening. What I think is that we're in the process, maybe not necessarily in a perfectly well-planned out, articulated way, but I think we're in the process of creating both a new medicine and a new religion. Mm-hmm. And where medicine, to the greatest extent, is somewhat of an authoritarian scheme in which doctors or people of authority tell us what we ought to do with our bodies to feel better. And sometimes, by the way, they're right on. I do want to say that.
Sure.
And where religions are largely dominator organizations that are fundamentally real estate holdings and political action groups that harbor child molesters, people who are fearful of living in regular society, etc. And there are exceptions to that, by the way.
In parentheses, I'll say ouch, and then
yes.
we, go ahead.
Yes. Right now, what we're doing is we're exploring a type of medicine in which you sit down on your mat and you drink this stuff and you have healing experiences. And there may not be any double-blind, placebo-controlled crossover studies saying that you're going to resolve your post-traumatic stress disorder or the horrors that have gone on in your mind and soul as a result of early childhood abuse or whatever. Right. But people are getting healed. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, instead of sitting, listening to people intone, well-worn scriptures from dusty books, people are sitting down, drinking ayahuasca, having direct encounters with spirit, finding themselves immersed in visions and experiences that they previously read about in scriptures, as though these are only supposed to happen to old dead people from a long time ago. Right. And so while I think that the basics of modern medicine will remain, and I think religions are proving hard to kill off, although they're dying slowly. Really, what we're seeing is an emergence of a non-domination-based approach to these things, to a self-determined approach to these things. You know when you feel good. You know when you feel better. You know when you've been carrying pain and that burden is lifted from your mind and heart. You don't need somebody to tell you that has taken place,
right,
or to prove one way or another that it's taken place. You know it's so, just like you know you get wet when you take a shower. And if you have an experience of the divine, if you have a direct experience of spirit, you don't need somebody to verify or corroborate that that's true and real for you. It's true and real for you. And it's every bit as objective as anything you're going to get in a church or a religious ceremony. But it's much more thorough. It's much more involved. You're actually having a direct experience with spirit.
Right. And that truth may not be comforting. I mean, people are going to encounter things that maybe they wish they hadn't done that. Because our truth can be painful. And maybe that's what we need sometimes, is to be able to take a look at those truths, to see who we are, who we've been, so that we can maybe reformulate who we want to be moving forward and have that second chance. It's never too late.
Ayahuasca will show you both the extraordinary, exquisite beauty of who and what you are and the fundamentally filthy, rotten trash that you carry around in the sub-basements of your soul. It will show both of those things to you. And there are people who are like all about having the former and none of the latter. Ayahuasca's not the thing to go for if that's right. What you want, because you're going to get it all. Mm-hmm. You're going to, revelation means that things are revealed to you. And not every revelation is fun, friendly, happy, or positive, but useful, yes. So if you realize, one of my favorite stories is about a guy I drank with, and the next day I said, "How was your journey?" And he said, "Oh, man, it was really rough. I got to the, doors of the spirit world, and these two temple guardian spirits were there. And I said, 'I want to go in.' And they said, 'No.' And they showed me every way that I had committed a wrong or an offense against somebody or had hurt somebody in my whole life. And it took hours." Mm-hmm. And then the guy said, "I'm only 35. I've got time to correct this. This is amazing." I heard from him years later. He went back and drank, and he did get access to mm-hmm. the spirit world. So, some of the things that we get shown in ayahuasca may be exquisitely uncomfortable and horribly unflattering. But if we can use those things, if we can move through those things, we can be liberated from pains and suffering that most known procedures, therapies, methods of different kinds can't really get to.
Right. There's, and that's something to consider, is what you might encounter when you get there. I think that it's important, sort of a cautionary note about whether or not it might be appropriate to take that trip. The kinds of folks who might encounter either something they might be on pharmaceutically might be contraindicative to the ayahuasca experience, that it could be actually very dangerous. First, I'd like to talk about that, and then I'd like to talk about something you write about in your book about people who maybe shouldn't embark on that journey.
Sure, sure. In terms of is ayahuasca right for you, I mean, one of my barometers is if you think it is or not. If you're one of those people who says, oh, boy, I don't think that's right for me, my sense is that's your best advice. And if you do think it's right for you, then you still have a little bit of work to do. If, for example, you are on certain classes of drugs, antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, MAO inhibitors, and sleep aids, you must get off of those drugs for a month before you drink ayahuasca, or you can come to grave harm. And I'm not suggesting that you do this on your own. You've got some very tricky drugs like Xanax, for example, that if you just stop cold, you can have seizures, you can even die. So you need to work with a doctor to get off of these medications before you can try ayahuasca. If you fail to do that, you can get very sick. You can have terrible things happen. Now, the shamans never went through this. You know, in times of antiquity, they never had somebody come to them and says, hey, man, you know, like, I really want to drink ayahuasca, but I'm on Klonopin. Okay, right. That didn't take place.
Right.
But now it's taking place. And so now doctors and psychiatrists and medical people of all different times are trying to figure out, okay, what's okay and what's not. Looks like this heart medication, that's okay. But this anxiety medication, not a good idea. So part of it is knowing that if you're on medications, there are many categories of medications that you must be off of and cleansed of before you drink ayahuasca.
That's really important for people to know because, you know, some of you listening to this, it might be the first time you've heard of this medicine, and you might be thinking, that sounds like the kind of, you know, experience I need to have. And there's a lot of planning that goes into this. You really need to be careful about your physical self and then consider your emotional self. And I want to read something that Chris has in his book here, and it's under the topic of integration and when visions go wrong. And it says here, it would be irresponsible not to round out this handbook with a note of caution. Not everybody is well suited for ayahuasca, just as not everyone is well suited for other psychedelics. Sometimes people are too fragile, suggestible, or otherwise vulnerable in ways that may cause trouble. Anyone who typically hears voices immediately purchases anything to see, anything they see on a TV infomercial or believes in all conspiracy theories, however patently absurd, would be advised to hold off on ayahuasca. So what I'd like to know is, in terms of especially the hearing voices, what your concern is about that and if you've ever seen a complication.
Well, it is the case that for the most part, when people hear voices, they are delusional. We know this to be so. You know, a delusional person, a schizophrenic person, a person who maybe is gravely mentally disturbed, taking ayahuasca is probably a very bad idea. We saw that with LSD. We've seen that with mushrooms. A lot of people handle these things brilliantly. Most people do. That's the beauty. That's the accessibility of these medicines. But there still will be people who, because of their mental emotional state, because of things that have happened to them, because they're in a delusional state, they should not drink. And, ayahuasca drinkers are largely self-selected. Mm-hmm. But if you see somebody absolutely, abjectly crazy about to reach for the glass, my opinion is you kind of have a responsibility to stop that accident from happening.
So, basically, I think it's important, you know, it's really subjective. What is crazy? What is delusional? What is a disorder? You know, a lot of the voices that people hear are the result of early childhood trauma.
Sure.
And so the same people that might be seeking a medicine like ayahuasca to deal with that might also be hearing voices. And voices aren't always negative for people. Sometimes they're actually the only thing that people had when they were going through those traumas and abuses.
That's also true. Mm-hmm. And here we run into the big gray area of psychedelics. They've been used since antiquity. They've been used largely safety. You go back to the early histories of things like peyote and San Pedro and, ayahuasca, certainly heavy doses of cannabis that are just outright psychedelic. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots and lots of people have used these things safely. Mm-hmm. But there still will be a few who can't. There right. still will be a few who flip out. And yes, in answer to your previously asked questions, I have seen that. Mm-hmm. I have seen one or two people go absolutely bat crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not fun for anybody, including them. It's certainly uncomfortable for the people around them. So while I don't want to belabor the point, because there are so many riches and so much goodness to come out of the ayahuasca experience, mm-hmm. I don't want to give the sense that this is kind of a free ride for everybody. Right. It is not. This is a big deal. This is a monumental thing. When you drink that cup of ayahuasca, you're in for a ride.
Right. You are embarking on a journey. I want to take a break here. You are listening to As Seen on Radio, DJ Leisure and Chris Killam in the house. We are talking about the medicinal and healing properties of ayahuasca, which originates in Amazon, but is finding a wider and wider footprint on this planet as people learn about it and learn from it. And I want to just let you know about an event that's going on today in the Valley. We have an event called Valley Gives. And so today, about 250 nonprofits are asking for donations. And with a certain number of donations that come in, there is actually a matching dollar amount that's being created. And so if you could support Valley Free Radio today, if you log on to valleyfreeradio.org, there's a button to click on to donate, and your support today could be doubled if we reach that threshold. So we'd really appreciate you going online, finding that button, clicking, donating, and helping us keep quality content like this on the air. It's really special as a rookie DJ to be able to come in and have this experience. I know that when I was growing up, when I got a taste of being on the radio, it was something awesome. And to be able to extend that invitation to other people is really special. And I learn every time I'm in here, everything from the boards to the people I'm talking to. And I hope that you're enjoying this conversation today. I would also like to share with you a promo about a couple of other shows that are going on here. And check it out. This first one is from Uneasy Listening.
Check out Uneasy Listening Saturday nights at our new time from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. You'll hear all kinds of music with a different lyrical theme every week, right here on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, and streaming live on valleyfreeradio.org.
Valley Tango has a new time. That's Wednesday mornings at 11 to 1 in the afternoon. Tango music is beautiful, mysterious, and soulful. It has captivated the imagination of people all over the world as the music of romance. Bring a little romance into your life every Wednesday morning with Valley Tango Connect. Join me every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Valley Tango Connect, only on Valley Free Radio. 103.3 FM, WXOJ-LP.
McGruff here.
The crime dog?
Yep.
I think I'm gonna need your help. I've got an internet bully.
Okay, well, what you do is...
Maybe you could put a virus on her computer, or a tracking device. Or a bug.
You don't have to do that, are you?
Or maybe we could get an attack dog. You ever see those attack dogs that can, like, rip a person's arm off? Seriously. Or like a SWAT team, a cyber SWAT team or something. Or like an army. Did you ever see that zombie army movie? We should get a zombie army.
Wait, wait, wait. All you need to do to stop an internet bully is delete their messages and never forward them on.
So, no zombies?
No zombies.
Bummer.
Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
All right, always good to hear from McGruff, the crime dog. Probably didn't expect it to go the way of zombies and whatnot. What I'd like to do in the second half of the hour here is, this is DJ Leisure speaking with Chris Kellum. I have an Icaro, it's called here, that Chris wrote, and with music supporting it by local artist John Sheldon. And maybe you could tell us what this is and actually how it's used in ceremony.
Icaros are songs that are sung in ceremony to set the mood of an ayahuasca ceremony, to bring in the spirits, to establish a trajectory for the night. And many of the Icaros, in whatever languages they might be in Quechua or Shipibo or Spanish, are basically songs that tell about the healing power of ayahuasca. And this is one such song in Spanish.
Okay, and I will take a call as I begin the music now. And here's Chris's Icaro.
En el mundo no hay un médico. En el mundo no hay remedio. En el mundo no hay medicina. En el mundo no hay hierba. En el mundo no hay curandero. En el mundo chamán que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca. Ayahuasca es magnífico. Ayahuasca es luminoso. Ayahuasca es espíritu. Ayahuasca es misterioso. Ayahuasca es más grande. Ayahuasca es superior. Ayahuasca es medicina. Ayahuasca es hierba. Ayahuasca es curandero. Ayahuasca es chamán. Ayahuasca es la medicina. Ayahuasca es la medicina. Ayahuasca es la medicina. En el mundo no hay un médico. En el mundo no hay remedio. En el mundo no hay medicina. En el mundo no hay hierba. En el mundo no hay curandero. En el mundo no hay chamán. Que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca, que se compra de ayahuasca. Ayahuasca es magnífico. Ayahuasca es luminoso. Ayahuasca. es más grande. Ayahuasca es superior. Ayahuasca es la medicina. Ayahuasca es hierba. Ayahuasca es curandero. Ayahuasca es shaman. Es la medicina. Ayahuasca es la medicina. Ayahuasca es la medicina.
Okay, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
And we're going to go to our first call now. Caller, you're on the air.
I guess that's me.
That would be you. What's
all
your
the
name?
Time.
Where are you calling from?
My name is Niketa, and I live in Sedona, Arizona.
Well, that's further away than Northampton. Good going. Nice start. So, Niketa, what's your question?
The volume is very low. I can hardly hear you.
Okay. What's your question, Niketa?
My question, first of all, is if I was going to plan a trip down to Peru, I was reading about some of the centers in your book, and is it the Nahui Ra you were talking about?
Yeah, there are a few good centers that I recommend because I like the facilities, and I think that the shamans are talented and ethical. One of them is a place called Nihui Rao. That's Nihue, Nihui Rao, Rao.
Okay.
Like most places these days, they have a website so you can find them, and they have it in English as well, so you can get information. I've drunk with the head shaman there for well over 7 years, Ricardo Amaringo. I think he's a very, very talented man. There is another center in the same area, the Iquitos area of Peru, called Temple of the Way of Light.
Okay.
Beautiful place as well. Very nicely run, fine people, great shamans. I love their ceremonies. And then there's a place that I have yet to go to called the Ayahuasca Foundation, run by Carlos Tanner. But it gets enthusiastic reviews, and because so many people I trust have recommended it, I would say that's also a place you could go to. So you really have three good choices: Nihui Rao, Temple of the Way of Light, and Ayahuasca Foundation.
Okay. And I think I've heard of the Temple of the Way of Light because I've been doing a lot of research on this. I watched the Spirit Science film, and then also there's been several documentaries about ayahuasca.
Yes, there have been a lot of documentaries and articles about ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is bursting loose at the seams. It's like Mardi Gras right now out there.
Yeah, I love that you've put this book out because, like you said, it's there's all kinds of ways for people, good and bad, to get involved, and this is a really good way to have a kind of a guide map for it, like you said, the Test Pilot's Handbook.
Well, thank you. Do you have another question?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I'm just really grateful that you're doing this and just thank you for your work.
Well, thank you so much. You take good care now.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So I'm really glad that the caller brought up the formation of these locations because they are sort of bringing into focus the need for a safe experience,
mm-hmm.
and also the need for sustainability. They are being flooded with Westerners in Peru.
They are being flooded with Westerners in Peru, and some people take a dim view of this. I don't. I think that, truth has no ownership and spirituality belongs to nobody, and that this is something that gives people access to those things. And so, of course, it's good and worthy and desirable that it is spreading out beyond its sort of cultural boundaries. And an interesting thing is taking place as a result of people being interested in ayahuasca and going to South America looking for ayahuasca, this is actually starting to turn the tides for shamanism. Shamanism has been a declining occupation for a long, long time. There are fewer shamans than there were because most people say, hey, I don't want to, you know, sit around in the woods and learn how to boil herbs and twigs. I want to go to the city and make some dough and, you know, have a better life. And that's the imagination. And what's happened is with the popularization of ayahuasca, now people are choosing to remain in their traditional villages to get the training to be shamans, to learn to lead these ceremonies. It also happens to be a good living now. And then if they want to go to the city to buy a pair of Nikes or whatever it is they want to go to the city for, they can. So oddly, there is a traditional preservation and promotion dimension of this that I think we didn't expect in the beginning.
Right. And I think that just in terms of supporting a culture, and what I appreciate about your book also is just sort of that look at how culture changes over time and how some of the practices are changing to reflect the needs of the people that are going there. And I appreciate that you don't have this sort of rigid defensiveness about it, but that this is how things happen. This is history in the making. This is the legacy of ayahuasca.
People here used to live without heat and without plumbing. Okay, is that traditional living? Well, I mean, I guess it is, but it's not comfortable living. Most people I know prefer to have a warmer home in the winter and actually prefer to have plumbing. Now, some don't, but most do. These traditional cultures are changing. They are going to change. No traditional culture is going to remain the same because the pressures of humanity are just too great. That's the reality of things. So at the very same time, if some cultural traditions can be preserved in a manner or promoted even in new ways, this can be a good thing. When I look, for example, at the Shipibo people, who are a native group in Peru, a lot of Shipibo people are also shamans. Ayahuasca is very important to them. This may turn out to be the greatest opportunity for cultural preservation that they have faced since the invasion of the Spanish. And that is a remarkable thing.
Right. In terms of the invasion of the Spanish, in your book, you have a couple accounts of those first, of Westerners being introduced to this medicine and other ones as well, but their experience and how that became a part of the history of this.
Well, yeah, in the 1800s, I think the first non-native person was a guy named Manuel Villavicencio, who was on a ship, and he drank ayahuasca with the native people, and he saw, you know, splendid cities and spirits, and he had kind of a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. By contrast, some of the earlier botanists had, what you could call differing experiences. I mean, the Victorian era botanist Richard Spruce, who was one of the greatest of all the Amazonian researchers, wound up having a hilarious sort of mishap in which he was given ayahuasca, plus he was given a native fermented drink made largely of saliva, which is just like no fun for him, plus a gigantic cigar of Amazonian wild tobacco. So he was just reeling from it. So, I mean, you know, some of these people who have gone forward early and tried things have had some pretty outlandish experiences.
Right. So I wanted to, I asked Chris to provide me with some music for today's show. And I wanted to have sort of a second song to play from. And you chose Wichi Taito. And
yes.
I'm going to play a clip of that. But first, why did you choose this
when
song?
I was a teenager, I became aware of Wichitaito through the guy who wrote it, named Jim Pepper, and his work with a group named Everything Is Everything. And eventually Brewer and Shipley and a number of other people, I think maybe 20 different groups, did Wichitaito. It is a song that Jim Pepper learned from his grandfather. It is a peyote song. And it's about the healing power of peyote and about it tapping you into the living spirits and how this is a beautiful and wonderful thing. So I was fascinated with Wichitaito. And when I became friends with local legendary musician John Sheldon, at some point I said, hey, you know, why don't we record a version of Wichitaito? And it must have taken him a good, you know, 3 seconds to agree. And the next thing I knew, we were in the studio with his band Blue Streak, and we were recording Wichitaito, and it's one of my prouder musical moments.
That's awesome. So the version that we're about to hear is by
John Sheldon and Blue Streak and myself. Oh. I'm on lead vocals.
Wonderful. And I'm going to send this out to my family. I love you all. And here's Wichitaito.
Piote Govinda, wanna wanna ho. Piote Govinda, wanna wanna ho. Piote Govinda, wanna wanna ho. Hiana ne he ne no way. Wichitaito, give me ra wo ra niko wo ra ne. Wichitaito, give me ra wo ra niko wo ra ne. Wo ra niko wo ra ne. Wo ra niko wo ra ne. Wichitaito, give me ra wo ra niko.
So that is a composition of Wichitaito with Chris Killam on vocals and John Sheldon and Blue Streak. And so we have time for one more call if anybody wants to call in, 413-585-1033. And Chris, I'd like to give you a chance to read something from your book if you'd like to.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. It'd be a pleasure. This is actually from the opening section. Let me get that right. The jinn arises. The genie is out of the bottle. The potent psychoactive plant-based brew ayahuasca, once the sole purview of shamans and indigenous native people in the great Amazon rainforest, has issued forth from the confines of its cultural and geographic boundaries and now is becoming well-known and widely used around the globe. As surely as morning mist fogs the canopy of the vast, verdant Amazon, so ayahuasca, that mysterious botanical potion of antiquity, advances sinewy tendrils far and wide. As its spirit suggestively brushes the imagination and teases the mind, and part intuition of future revelation. And like the genies of ancient lore, this brew can and will grant wishes. Who do we have here?
We have a caller calling in to express some thoughts for you.
Okay. Hi. Hello.
I've followed Chris.
Hello.
I've followed Chris's work for some time, and I just wanted to say what isn't said often, maybe enough, which is just appreciation for the caliber of the care and the consciousness that you bring to your work with people all over the world. You know, there's so many people who are out there basically trying to find what is precious to these people and take it. And I really just want to acknowledge you for the way that you have really worked to empower and respect and hold in the sacred circle the people who bring us these medicines that you've been spending your life hunting. So
well,
I appreciate you for the quality that you bring to your work as well.
Thank you so much. Doing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I think that these are precious and sacred treasures to share with as many people as possible.
Thank you for calling, and we didn't quite catch your name and where you're calling from today.
My name is Adam, and I'm calling from Leverett.
Awesome.
Thanks, right. Man.
Thanks for
bless
calling. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I think one of the things about ayahuasca is that people have taken a variety of different types of psychedelics, certainly LSD, mushrooms. I'm not dissing any of them. People have had some very, very good, fine experiences. I would also say that ayahuasca is of a whole other order of magnitude, that you know, LSD is a strong rushing stream. I would submit to you that ayahuasca is the Congo River. It has a depth to it. It has a power to it. It has a vastness to it. It has that connectivity to it that goes so deeply into history and so deeply into nature and so deeply into the fundamental essence of what spirituality is that it's staggering. And it delivers all of that. So when you get involved with ayahuasca, you might do so because you want to heal a particular thing. You were in the Iraq War. You've been troubled ever since. You saw people die. You just want that horror out of your heart and soul. This will help to make that happen. If you are also on a spiritual quest and you know, maybe you practice yoga, maybe you practice meditation, Tai Chi, martial arts, any number of disciplines, and still you want that total, complete spiritual immersion, you can have it with ayahuasca. And this is the great promise of this medicine. This is what makes it so extraordinary. You don't have to read about somebody's experiences. You don't have to hear about somebody's experiences. You don't have to take for truth accounts of spirit in old books. You can sit down, you can drink, you can immerse yourselves in the Ikaros, in the holy songs. You can have your revelation right there, right now. And this is something that is an extraordinary door opener. It's liberating for people, it's healing for people, it's enlightening for people, and we deserve to have access to this in safe, affordable, friendly circumstances in which people can thrive and prosper.
Well put. I think about the experiences I had with LSD, mushrooms, psychedelics when I was early on in my own recovery with mental health challenges, which might sound contradictory, but they were opening me up to another world and a way of removing myself from my current situation so that I could regain objectivity. And I felt like I was allowed into this concurrent reality that there was more in this world than meets the eye, and it gave me a chance to peer through that lens. And when I spoke with Dr. Dennis McKenna a few months ago, I asked him about the experiences he had had with DMT and different psychedelics, and he said it was like popping his head up through a portal and seeing this other world. And I'm it's interesting because I always experienced it as that world popping its head through a portal and staring at me. So I'm wondering about this experience and how this whole plant experience might be different.
Well, everybody has a different experience because our minds are different. You know, in a ceremony on any one night, you can have somebody in absolute abject misery beside somebody who's just, you know, immersed in this exalted, loving condition, beside somebody else who's hyper excited, beside somebody else who's totally flattened. And it goes like that around in the circle. So the experiences are many and varied. I do think that a lot of people have direct personal immersions into spirit, and this is irreplaceable. You know, I like to call it swimming out past the shipping lanes. When you're in so deep and it's so full and you're so far out there or in here or whatever this is, and you're having a total conscious, absolute sense of the majesty and the grandeur of all existence and the interconnectivity of all things, and you're so filled with gratitude for this precious life that tears are streaming down your face and you're feeling love for all beings, this is not an artificial thing. This is something profound and beautiful and valuable, and it shakes you up. It shakes you out of any of the mental and emotional traps that we can find ourselves in as a result of the anesthesia of daily life, as a result of the incessant blather that we're faced with on TV and in so many corners of the universe. This is like pointing a 44 Magnum at your TV set and pulling the trigger and having it blown to smithereens and discovering that behind that plastic, there's this gigantic world of free-flowing visions, and the visions are extraordinary and healing. That's what we're up to here. This is a great mystery.
All right. Well, lock and load, Chris Killam. I think that's a great way to wrap up today's show. This is DJ Leisure on As Seen on Radio. It's been a pleasure seeing you all on the radio and to get to speak with you, Chris.
Thank you, Lee. It's been a pleasure.
Definitely check out the Ayahuasca Test Pilot's Handbook. You can also go to Chris's website, medicinehunter.com. That's medicinehunter.com, and see the great work that he's doing all around the world. And he doesn't just work with ayahuasca. He works with everything from cranberries to beyond. So definitely go and check it out. It's a whole health experience that we're talking about, mind, body, and soul. Ayahuasca is just one entry into that world of wellness.
And I have to say that the whole site was developed by my wife, Zoe.
Zoe. And what is Zoe's website so that they can check her?
CosmicSister.com.
CosmicSister.com. And I bet down the road we're going to be having a conversation with her as well, because she's got a lot to share. And we'll give her that opportunity, I swear. So we're going to wrap up today. Remember, it's Valley Gives Day. So log on to valleyfreeradio.org. Click on the donate button and help support your local radio station. And if you have feedback or ideas for the show, please email me at lee@mutual-support.com. That's lee@mutual-support.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you yourself have something you'd like to have seen on the radio, maybe we can work something out. So thanks a lot for tuning in, and be good, Alden.